Pastor Denny asked me a couple weeks ago, and he asked me, he says, well, what are you going to speak on? And I said, well, I believe I'm going to speak on our enemy. It's really what I thought. And he asked me yesterday, called me and said, are we set? I said, yeah. He said, you're going to talk about our enemy. And I said, well, no, I'm not. And I said, a verse keeps coming to my mind. And I prayed, and I felt like that's what I'm supposed to talk about. And we'll get to it in a minute, but it's 1 Chronicles 26 and 27. And it says, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. I wished I could tell you in your Christian walk that you would always know what choices you need to make. You'd always know easily what path to take. And I thought of this, wouldn't it be nice in our walk with the Lord if we had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and when the cloud went right, I went right. When it stopped, I stopped. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And you think about the children of Israel, what God did for them. They must have been celebrating when they left Egypt. When they walked out of Egypt, they left the Egyptians on food stamps and welfare. They did. And bingo, next thing you know, they're following this cloud at Moses' direction. The Lord's leading them, and he leads them right to the Red Sea. I mean, there is no way of escape. Here they are at the Red Sea, and they look back, and here comes Pharaoh hot after them. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. And if I would have followed that plan of talking about our enemy, in Revelations 20 and 2, God said, take that serpent, or take that dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. So he's using four things there to describe our enemy. Well, one of the things he says, take that dragon, the aspect, each one of those names has a different aspect about our enemy. The word dragon means he wants to strike fear into our hearts. And I told my brother, who's a minister, on the phone yesterday, I said, I feel like right now in my life, because of what's going on in our nation and in this world, I am in the epic battle of my life. I feel like we are at a time where it is good versus evil. They're calling good evil and evil good. There are people that, if we knew the truth, they would like to take our Bibles away, and they'd like to take away our ability to worship, and they would love to strike fear in our hearts. Ezekiel 29 and 3, God's speaking, and he says, tell Pharaoh, that king, that old dragon. He's called the dragon in Ezekiel 29 and 3. So the children of Israel, they're at the Red Sea, and what do? The first thing they start doing is complaining. Grumbling and griping. God delivers them. They get to the other side of the Red Sea. Miriam and the ladies, they begin to dance and sing praises to God. And God has drowned the horse and the rider in the sea. All is wonderful. The cloud moves and it takes them to a place called Marah. And at Marah, the waters were bitter. Now they begin to grumble and complain again because they got bitter water. What did Moses do? The Lord showed Moses a tree, and he cut the tree down, and he pitched it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. That tree is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his humanity, and if you're in the bitterness right now, I can tell you Jesus can make it sweet. So God delivers them there. They move from Marah, and they go to a place called the Wilderness of Sin. At the Wilderness of Sin, they begin to pray and complain because they don't have anything to eat. And God says, I will show them what I... And they're murmuring and complaining. And God said, I'll show them what I'll do. I will rain bread from heaven. And Jesus in John chapter 6, he said, I am that bread come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. So if you're hungry, spiritually hungry today, Jesus is able to satisfy your hunger and fill you. So God delivers them there. They leave that place. The cloud moves, and it stopped. Now they're encamped at a place called Rephidim. At Rephidim, there's no water. They begin to murmur and complain again. And this is where God told Moses to go smite the rock. And Psalm 78 tells us that that rock, when Moses smote that rock, that said rivers of water came out of that rock. And it overflowed the streams. In other words, Moses, there's no water to drink. Moses smites the rock, and oceans of water begin to come out of that rock and satisfy the thirst of probably, some people say maybe 6 million. And it satisfies their thirst. And if you're thirsty today, Jesus says, if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. To the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Why am I going this route? I want to read you a scripture. Now you say, well, that's Old Testament. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Basically, what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It said, these things about them was written for our example, that we would not murmur as they murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. That God is not pleased with our murmuring and our complaining about every little thing he brings our way. It doesn't please God, and he's not happy with our murmuring. So that brings us up to the scripture that I said I was going to use today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 27, it tells us, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And as I've prayed, and God, is this really what I'm supposed to speak about? I think it was Friday, I went and got the mail, and we get the World Challenge deal every month, and David Wilkerson in it always had a devotional. Well, now his son Gary, sometimes it will be him doing the devotional, and sometimes he goes back and draws out one that his father wrote. And this one happened, and I really pay attention if David Wilkerson wrote it. And this one is entitled, Don't Waste Your Afflictions. Do not waste your afflictions. Do not waste the battle that God lets you go in. Do not waste it. There's something interesting, though, about why this verse is written here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 27, it's following 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, David here, who is a type of the Father, is telling his son Solomon, who's a type of Jesus, I want you to build a house for the Lord. I want you to build a house for God. Now, I mentioned here the wilderness tabernacle typifies, everything in it typifies the humanity of Jesus, but this temple, and it had no permanency, it was movable. The temple stayed where it was. The temple is a type of the church. And David tells Solomon, he said, in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, he says, my son Solomon is yet young and tender. I believe that's verse 5. He's young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord is to be exceedingly magnificent. That's the Amplified Bible. I don't know why it says, in the King James it says it's to be exceedingly magnifical, but in the Amplified it says exceedingly magnificent. In other words, Solomon, this house you're to build is to be beautiful. It's to be awesome. Now, if I were teaching, which is what I really like to do, David said, I have gathered all of these things for you to build the temple. And he says, there's iron, there's brass, there's gold, there's cedar trees, there's stone. And if I was teaching, there's a blackboard here, I would just scribble a big mess. And I'd say, there it is, Solomon. Now make something beautiful out of that. And each one of those things represents something, and we're not going to get into all of those today, but silver is what we're going to look at. So just, we will get to that on the silver. Something else that David did, and you can read it in 1 Chronicles 22, he says, I have also given you workers in abundance who are hewers of stone, workers in timber. And basically, what God did, he said, Acts tells us now that that's a place where God dwelt in the Old Testament. Now we're in the New. It tells us in Acts 17 and 48, I believe, or 24, now God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Hebrews 3:6 says, Jesus, God, in the Living Bible, said, Jesus, God's faithful Son, is in charge of God's house, and ye are God's house. He also tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So rather than abiding in an earthly temple now, which was supposed to be exceedingly magnificent, now he's dwelling in us, and I think he wants us to be exceedingly magnificent. David said also in 1 Chronicles 22, he said, in my trouble, I have amassed all of this for you to build this house. And just one of his troubles he talks about is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6 is really good. However, I think probably we should always expect the unexpected. Because David and his men are out on a campaign and they come back to a place called Ziklag. And when they get to Ziklag, what they saw was not what they expected. Their wives, their sons, their daughters, their children, everybody's gone, and Ziklag is burned to the ground. Wasn't what he expected, but remember he said, in my troubles, I have gathered all of this to build the house of the Lord. So what happens? The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 30, I think it's verse 3, it says that the men and David wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 5 or 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now to me, that's the time to get out of town. Not David. If you look at the end of verse 6, it said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And one of the things that David Wilkerson said in his newsletter about don't waste your afflictions, he said, you can get through your afflictions by remembering past victories, by remembering past afflictions and how God brought you through them. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there was a cave there and David went into a cave and his men spake of stoning him, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I wouldn't be surprised if those men are wondering what's going on. And David ended up in a worship service and he said, I remember when that lion and that bear came out against my sheep and I got them by the chin whiskers and destroyed them. And I remember when that Goliath was taunting the children of Israel and God used me to destroy him. And I believe David came out of the cave like a bulldog on a leash, ready to go. And he said, God, and this is what he said, God, shall I pursue? And God said, thou shalt pursue, and without fail you will recover all. And then if you can go home now and read the rest of 1 Samuel chapter 30, and you'll see that David gained, and it calls it spoil, a whole lot of spoil when they caught up to these Amalekites. There's a lot in this story. I'm not going to talk about that. They caught up to the Amalekites and gained all of this spoil. And it also says, and David didn't keep all of that spoil for himself. He sent some to Judah. He sent it different places. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And David said, in my troubles I've gathered all this. It's spoils that he had from battles that he had been in. He used it to build the house of the Lord. Now, I mentioned we would look at silver. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 15, I think, this is what they did for atonement for their souls. Each man, each person, brought a half a shekel of the sanctuary, read it, for an atonement for their souls. The rich didn't bring more, and the poor didn't bring less. Our salvation, is, I don't care how rich you are, I don't care how poor you are, your salvation, it's the same for all of us. And you can go on and study on the shekel of the sanctuary and realize that it is silver. Silver represents redemption. In the house for God that's to be exceedingly magnificent back then, there was redemption. But something interesting that we find about that in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 4, David again is talking about what he has amassed to build this temple that is to be exceedingly magnificent. And he says, I have gathered 4,000 talents of refined silver. Refined silver. Refined silver is silver that has been put through the fire. Psalms 9, 12 and 6 talks about the silver that is put through the fire seven times to purify it. Refined silver. To me, now this is me, to me, and I look around here and I see gray heads, me included. Don't let anybody tell you that you're useless because you're old. There's a move in some churches, all they want is young people. You know what the refined silver was used for? If you're reading 1 Chronicles 29 and 4, that refined silver was used to cover the walls with all it said. In the Bible, wall stands for spiritual protection. And it was covered with refined silver. Maybe God has let you go through some things, and the fire you've been in has made you refined silver, and he's got you for the protection of the church. God, just like David, has given Solomon all these workers to take that mess and make it something beautiful out of it. God takes all of us old sinners, nothing beautiful about us, and he gives us to his son and said, make something beautiful that I can dwell in. And then Jesus, when he ascended on high, said he gave gifts unto men, hewers of stone, workers in silver, workers in timber, so to speak. That's the old and the new. And God has gifted people in the church, but sometimes, and I said this last week at St. Charles, sometimes the child of God is called upon to suffer as a means of higher spiritual development. It's necessary. I listen to Tony Evans sometimes. Sometimes it's for this reason. And I like the way Tony Evans words things. He says, I'm dating my wife. And he said, the sister's just not getting close enough. He said, so we went to an amusement park. And he said, I saw this real scary ride. And he said, I put her in a distressing situation. And he said, wouldn't you know it, as soon as that ride started, she got close. Sometimes God lets us be in uncomfortable situations to draw us to him, because he wants to be close to us. My dad was a big man, and Dwight and Nancy knew my dad and mom before they died. And dad was, 6'3", something like that. And when he would whip me, which I did get, and he would have me like this, and I'm dancing, he's whipped me. I tried to get as close as I could to him because he couldn't swing as hard. God wants you to get close to him. He's going to allow difficulties and troubles to come your way to draw you to him. Now, the last time I spoke, and it seems like I've always got a story to tell, and Pastor Dennis Denny came out to the car after church, and he said, man, you got a lot of stories. He said, I love them. And I remember immediately, Diane was sitting in the passenger seat, and she said, "Yeah, and they didn't come easy." They didn't come easy. And there's a reason that God works certain ways. But when you go through these battles, you can gain spoil in that battle. And that spoil can give you a testimony that can help maintain someone else. Their house that is supposed to be beautiful. You know, we didn't choose to be in the military, but it happened. In Vietnam, you had no choice. And we're in Okinawa, Japan. It's 1972, and a lot of the things I've said that happened with us, they didn't happen when we're 70 years old. They happened when we were 23, 24. So if you're a young person, God still cares about what you go through, and he's wanting you to learn some things. And when we got to Okinawa, Japan, we lived in a place, and I don't remember if I told part of this. It was called Bairu Apartments, and we were third floor up. We're overlooking the rice paddies in the South China Sea. Nice view, but we had cockroaches like you wouldn't believe. And these were big cockroaches, big ones. And it got to the point that every night when we went to bed, I had to pull the bed out away from the wall because Diane woke up and there's cockroaches on her head. We had two babies, 2 years old and 6 months old. And I remember I went in the bedroom and I cried, and I said, "God, help me to kill these things." Honestly, I went out and started killing them off the wall, and I remember I killed 17. The last one I killed, I swatted at it, and it flew across the room and landed in Diane's hair. So God started dealing with us to reenlist and stay in the military longer. Now, we're there for 18 months away from our family. Our parents aren't seeing their little grandbabies. And they weren't happy. Well, Diane's mom and dad has never said a thing, but my dad was not happy. He was not happy. We reenlisted, and one of the benefits of reenlisting was that you get a command, your command sponsored now. You don't have to pay your wife's way and children's home way home to the States. You get a nicer house, and you get furniture that's pretty nice. And we shopped. I say shopped. I remember one of the houses was up behind the Pentecostal Service and Center we attended. It was a nice house, and it overlooked you could see the ocean, and we decided that's what we're going to rent. We went back, tried to rent it, and they said it's already rented. So we found another one. Well, we'll take that one, go back to get it. It's already rented. I told you, it doesn't always come easy. Went to another place. It's rented. Finally, Diane says, "I'm tired of this. I don't want to look for a house anymore." And I'm not faulting Diane. I don't mean that. She wasn't complaining. She just says, "I just don't want to look anymore." And she said, "Well, maybe God wants us to stay here." I said, "Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God's got a place for us." And she says, "Well, you go ahead and look, and if you find it, I'll go look at it and see it." And I said, "No, I'm going to pray." And we're on Okinawa, and I prayed, "God, wherever you want us to move, you let that person call me and ask me if I want to rent his house." Now, we're in Okinawa. Sometimes I was a little more brave when I prayed. As God is my witness, a few days later, I'm in my squadron. The phone rings. And they said, "Sergeant Combs, this call is for you." I went and answered the phone. It was an Okinawan man. And he said, "Would you like to rent my house?" I said, "Yes." It was S-237 Sanabe. Now, what was strange, that our house is here, and there's a house here, and both we shared the drive. We parked beside each other. And that was Jerry White and Linda White. They had little kids, and Jerry and I put up a fence between the two houses, and our kids played in the backyard. I had been in Biloxi, Mississippi with Jerry, and I had been in Kinchelow Air Force Base with Jerry, and now we're living beside each other, and I'm working with him in the squadron where we're at. And Diane became friends with Linda, his wife, and we invited him to church. They were Church of Christ. We were Pentecostal. And wouldn't you know, the service they came with us, there was demonstrations of the Spirit at church. And because of that, they would never go back. They wouldn't come back. So we just went ahead and were their neighbors. And, you know, I'm sure we said things about the Lord. And I don't know what Diana and Linda would talk about. Came to pass, we left Okinawa after 2.5 years and went to Victorville, California, to George Air Force Base. And I was working third shift. Didn't know what happened to Jerry. I'm working third shift in job control. I'm debriefing pilots, and it was one of them rooms where the boards were lit up, and it's kind of dark in there, and I'm writing down the discrepancy on the plane and dispatching people out to fix it, and then we'd write on there if it was repaired. One night, and this is probably a year or two later since we left Jerry and them. This is in the middle of the night, maybe 2 a.m. They said, Staff Sergeant Combs, you've got a phone call. I picked up the phone and I said, hello. And they said, Jim, this is Jerry White. I said, Jerry. He said, praise the Lord. I said, Jerry White from Okinawa? He said, yes. He said, we came to Washington, D.C., and we read Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and we started thinking about what you and Diane had been telling us. He said, we went to the Church of Christ, and it was so dead. He said, we ended up in an Assembly of God church. We got saved and filled with the Spirit. So you don't know why God leads you, and I don't know why he just didn't put us there in the first place. You know, why do we have to go through... Well, let me say this. 2 weeks ago, we were driving down to West Virginia to my sister's 50th wedding anniversary, and that's my baby sister, so that dates us. And while we're there, I don't know if we called the kids, our daughter and son-in-law, or they called us. I don't remember. But one of them told me, they said they had two dogs that those kids loved. Well, now all of them, and they've kept them. But now all of the kids are married. Well, they're not all married, but they're all, Sean and Tony are alone. They had five kids, but now they're living alone. But the three girls are married. And one boy is fixing to get married. And he said, I think he told me, he said, Ashton came over today, and she took the one dog in the bedroom and got on the bed and cried for 1.5 hours. And that I wanted to turn around and go home and hug my granddaughter. I wanted to rescue her. We could have taken the dogs and kept them, have them ourselves, but we've got a little dog. We don't need more dogs. It hurt my heart to know that Ashton was feeling that way. And there's something I probably could have done about it, but it wasn't the thing to do. And as we're riding, the thought hit my mind, came to my mind, that when we go through difficulties, that God's heart hurts with us like I was hurting for my granddaughter, only probably more. God cares about what we go through. He cares about how we hurt. But when we go through things, we learn stuff. And what I learn sometimes, I can use to help somebody else down the road, to help them maybe be a beautiful, magnificent house for God to dwell in. Out of the battles that I've had, those spoils. I had a friend that God used him so much with me. And I won't say much, just one thing. And what a blessing he was to me. But there was a particular time, we were attending Trinity then, and I'm learning, I'm listening to the pastor, I'm listening to him, and I finally determined, I went up to a substation at work to pray. Now, I was an electrician, and we had keys to the substations. And the substation was where 17,000 volts came in. I didn't touch it. And it was in cubicles, you couldn't get at it, and it went out to 440, three-phase, to the machinery. And I had the area was probably as big as those chairs there, and I would walk in a circle and pray there. That's where I would go pray. And I went up there, I walked up to the substation, I'm praying, and said, God, I'm not listening to him anymore, and I'm not going to get it from the pastor anymore. I'm going to get it directly from you. So I told God what I was going to do. This friend of mine, I went down, didn't talk to one soul. Nobody knew I was there but me. I went down the catwalk, back to my job, and I saw my friend walking away. And I whistled, and I said, Lee, are you looking for me? He said, yes, I am. And I says, what do you want? He says, God told me to tell you, if you think you're going to tell him how you get anything, you're mistaken. You'll get it the way he gives it to you. I know that's funny. I know it's funny, but listen, God's got people that have been through the fire that can help us. They can get us out of difficult situations with a little prayer and counsel, maybe, because they've been there and they've gained some spoils. Let me tell you, that man has been through some battles. He's dead now, but he's been through some difficulty in his life. And I loved him, and we went to his funeral when he died, and I miss him. I tell you stories that curl your ears. And I'm not lying to you, that happened. And maybe God lets us go through difficulties so we can be like him. James, it says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. It says to be happy about it. And I have not always been the model of perfection in those times. But I have learned through study that it doesn't please God when I murmur and I complain about it all the time. I've had a real problem with patience. Patience is the fruit of endured tribulation. Read chapter 5 of Romans. And I'd be praying for patience. Things start happening, and literally, Diane will say, have you been praying for patience again? Because I'm murmuring and complaining because God's answering my prayer, knowing what will bring me patience and help me maybe to be an exceedingly magnificent temple for him to dwell in, and all I do is cry about it. She says, you've been praying for patience again? I said, who asked you? Like she told Pastor Denny in the car 4 weeks ago or however long ago, the stories didn't come easy. In Psalms chapter 84, verse 5, it says, blessed is the man who going through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain filleth the pools. Now, I think the literal word for Baca is this. Blessed is the man who going through the valley of weeping, make it a well, and the rain filleth the pools. Now, when you leave, the well is still there for somebody else to come along and get a drink when they need it. In your difficulty, in your trouble, you have made a well, and God has filled it with fresh water. He's that living water. And somebody else comes along and they need a fresh drink, and there's the well that you made when you were in the valley of weeping. God, help me and help us that when we go through difficulty and we're with someone else that's going through difficulty, that from the spoils we've had that we dedicate it to maintain the house of the Lord, spiritually speaking. And it's not always easy. But God knows what he's doing. He's trying to draw us to him. He's trying to perfect us. When we're in Okinawa, I would have said this about our enemy, and it came so strong to me. I was 24 maybe, teaching a class, going out on Friday nights, witnessing. If they have an all-night prayer, we would show up for our time to pray, get the kids up, doing everything we know to do, and it just is strongly as I can tell you, I started doubting that I was saved. And I mean, the devil had me convinced there was no hope for me. I'm going to hell. Diane doesn't even know this. I would stop by the Pentecostal service in the center and say, Brother Wright, would you please pray for me? I want to go to heaven, and I just don't think I'm saved. And he would kind of laugh, and I'd say, it's not funny. Literally on a Sunday night, I went up. We were sitting right back there, and I went up here to pray. And Benny Turner sensed it. And he came and started praying with me. Then here come Morgan Hill. And then here come Charles Wright. And here come Jesse Smith. And they had a circle around me. And they are having camp meeting. And I'm miserable. Finally, Benny, I don't know, maybe an hour of praying. I don't know. Benny Turner got down. He said, Jim, do you feel better? And I said, no. He said, then let's quit praying. And he says, what time is your lunch? He was in the Navy. He said, I will pick you up at your lunch. And we will go to the Navy chapel. And that's what we did. And he set me down. And he started reading some of these scriptures. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says the same, one of the last verses, it says, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I said, Benny, you've been through this? He said, oh yeah, I've been through it. Prayer didn't do it, but the word of God, he began to share scripture with me, and I said, why, you've been through this? Yeah. Ray Davis was a man at the church there. He come up to me the next Sunday. He said, did you get called to preach? He said, man, I sat back and watched what was going on, and I knew you was getting called to preach. I said, no, brother. I said, I was trying to determine whether or not I was even saved. So you're going to go through some difficulties. It's going to get rough sometimes. And the devil's going to try to come at you and destroy you. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. God is faithful. Just like I was concerned about my little granddaughter crying, it bothers me maybe more than it did her parents, but my heart was broken that she's home crying over this little dog. But it was necessary. They told her, if you want to take him, you can. God is concerned when we go through the difficulties in life. He's concerned. But don't waste your trials. Don't waste your afflictions. Learn from them. And then use the spoils from them to help somebody else. It's only 22, and I'm going to end with this scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And this is the Phillips translation. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. It says, the outward man indeed suffers wear and tear, but the inward man receives fresh strength daily. And these little troubles, which are so transitory, are working out for us a far greater reward out of all proportion to our pain. And we look not on the things which are transitory, but on the things which are eternal, for the things which are transitory will pass away, but the things which are eternal will last forever. So God's going to let us go through some difficulties, and he's going to see us through every one of them if we will lean upon him, and just like Tony Evans' wife was, just get a little closer to God, and he'll see us through them. There's a song we used to sing, this world is not my home, I'm only passing by. My treasures and my hopes are laid up in the sky. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We're getting to the point, folks, where we're not going to feel at home anymore here. And we're going to be saying, Lord, come quickly. Take us, Lord. And I'm so glad for the stories I can tell. But they didn't always come easy. But they were worth it. And I will just say this. Pastor Denny said to you, told me one time, he says, maybe sometime you want to share this. I had cancer 5 years ago, and I would hear people preach, and I heard a man named Paul Evern Walker who just died. He went to a church, and an old lady walked up to him and said, are you the Paul Evern Walker? He said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I don't know. She said, the Lord has been waking me up every night for 6 months to pray for you. Didn't even know him. I thought, wow, isn't that cool? Wouldn't that be neat? And, you know, while I'm going through this sickness, and Diana is telling me, Jim, please go to the doctor. She wasn't being rude. She said, some of the people say, you look terrible. Well, Bill White from Trinity came up to me at work in April, and he said, can I talk to you? And I said, you sure can. He says, I just want you to know that God's waking me up at 1:30 in the morning and telling me to pray intense prayers for you. In July, I think it was, I checked myself into the hospital, and I'm in an acute ICU, and my phone rang, and it was a guy named Rick Gunnell, which a lot of people here know. He said, what's going on with you? And I said, why do you ask? He said, what's going on with you? I said, well, honestly, I'm in acute ICU and don't really know for sure yet what's going on. He said, that makes sense. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, God won't let me quit praying for you. You see, when you're going, you say, how is that a blessing to you? Listen, the God who created this whole universe, that knows everything, he's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. He spoke to two people in his, somehow spoke to them and asked them to pray for me. It was worth it just for that, because I know God had his eye on me and he knew what I was going through and he cared about it. Make a long story short, they're talking all this scary stuff in the hospital, and you're probably a stage 3, maybe stage 4 cancer. And I went through the surgery. I went back to the doctor, and he says, you know, we're going to run some more tests. I went to the doctor to find out when I was getting the port for chemo put in. And he said, we're going to have to run some more tests. He said, we checked 34 lymph nodes, and we can't find anything. So I left, and they took more blood and ran more tests, and I went back to see him. He said, son, he said, you don't have anything. He said, you don't need chemo. Just go home. And our doctor, Dr. Singla, the cancer doctor, I went to him and I walked in, and he said, looks like you've already heard. I said, yeah, they already told me. And he gave me a hug and said, well, good news. God cares what we go through. I don't know why he was that good to me, but it was worth it just to know that I was on his mind and he had people praying for me. Now, we are going to take time. In a moment, I'll pray, but we're going to take time. Emma is going to put some music on like we normally do. And if you've been grumbling and complaining, you're not surprising God with it. You see, Gideon, when the angel came to him and said, hail, thou mighty man of valor, the dialogue happens, and I think Gideon made the statement, if God is for us, why is all this evil befalling us? Well, it was because of their sin, but Gideon had an incorrect understanding of the doings of Almighty God. And I've been there sometimes. God, what in the world are you doing? Where are you at? And I don't have a correct understanding of what he's doing. I didn't have a correct understanding of going through the little bout with cancer. But I look back now and what a blessing it was to me. So God cares. He loves you. He's on your side. Be on his side. And get as close to him as you can. Don't waste your afflictions. Don't waste the troubles you go through. But learn from them and be a blessing to somebody else. While you're at Baca, the Valley of Weeping, dig some wells and let God fill them with fresh water for somebody else coming along that path. Father, I thank you so much that you have allowed me to share. And God, I just pray that you bless your people. I pray that you bless this church. And God, as we take time to pray now, Lord, if there's any of us that's murmuring, complaining, help us, Lord, just to repent of it and realize that you're working out all things for our good. I ask these things in the precious name of Jesus, the strong Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.